This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. You know that saying about money not buying you love? How about love getting you some money? Online dating last year was $1.5 billion industry, and growing, I should say. You throw mobile in there, romance via smartphone, if you will, and the possibilities are endless. Audrey Quinn has a look at the first mobile app to really gain a following with women.
It's 9:30 on a Tuesday night, and 30-year-old Emily Johnson pulls up the Tinder app on her iPhone. Pictures of men pop up one at a time.
I tend to go through these pretty fast.
She set a filter. Men, 28 to 45, within 2 miles of a Brooklyn apartment. She swipes her finger to the right if she likes a guy, left if she's not so into him.
No, weird yellow spiky hair. No, don't like sporty pics. Pink shorts, that's a no. This one looks promising. We can give him a chance. He has a nice beard, nice bicycle.
If Johnson likes a guy's profile, and he likes hers too, Tinder puts them in touch.
Okay, exciting. So I actually just got a match. Did you see that?
She and the guy can message back and forth. And if that conversation goes well, they'll meet up.
It's like an easier, more convenient way to meet people than just, say, going to a bar. And it's essentially the same thing as going to a bar, right? Like, you look at a person across the room and you're like, that person is attractive enough for me to talk to.
Johnson says Tinder's a lot easier than regular online dating. All she had to do was sign up using her Facebook profile. That Facebook connection, it's made Tinder more palatable for a lot of women. Past phone-based dating apps have emphasized anonymity. Take Grindr, for example, the meetup site for gay men.
With the success of Grindr, one of the questions that the company was often asked is there a way for men and women who want to meet each other to have something similar?
That's Jamie Wu. He's author of the book Meet Grindr. He says Grindr introduced its offshoot for straight people in 2010. It was called Blender.
I think it became very obvious that women were not interested in using Blender.
He says Blender had too much of Grindr's meat market aesthetic. And the few women who did use it got overwhelmed by unsolicited messages from men. Tinder's different.
In Tinder, you can't really contact someone until they've agreed that you're a match. So there's kind of this almost lottery feeling to it, because you don't know whether or not someone's going to respond to you. And that kind of stuff is really engaging to app users.
Tinder now makes about 2 million matches a day. Normally, when something like Tinder suddenly strikes it big, you hear a lot of IPO buzz. But Tinder's already owned by IAC. That's the big media company that also has Match.com and OkCupid. Susan Ettlinger is a tech industry analyst at Altimeter Group. She says Tinder's big payoff could come from its data. It knows a lot about its users.
If you think about Tinder being for people who are young, who are single, knowing where they go, what they do, who they like, is really helpful in terms of understanding how to sell to them.
With that kind of data, Tinder could get super personal.
One thing that could happen over time is, what if they see that you are getting serious with somebody? They could offer a ring, they could offer a wedding dress ad.
That aside, Tinder users say the app's addictive. And IAC may be able to use that hype to drive people to OkCupid and Match.com. I asked Emily Johnson whether Tinder might lead her to try those other dating sites.
I think it's increased my comfort level with the idea of meeting a person from the internet.
Tinder just might be your gateway drug?
Yeah, Tinder might be my gateway drug.
In New York, I'm Audrey Quinn for Marketplace.